We had this weekend about Christ in Deuteronomy, in Numbers 19. God has a great goal. He wants to bring them into the good land. And when they're shortly ahead of the game goal, the enemy wants to stop them. And he wants to bring death. He wants them not to enter the good land and bring fruit to the Father. The enemy wants to stop that. That there's no fruit, and the goal of God. And the goal of God is this good land. And we have to see anew what is our goal. The Lord is coming soon, and he wants to bring us into his kingdom. And that's a shadow of the good land, the coming kingdom of peace. He wants to bring us into his rest. That's God's purpose. In Hebrews 4, he compares it to this rest to 6 days the God worked, and on the seventh day there was rest. This seventh millennial is this kingdom of peace, and he shows there is this this rest. He shows this kingdom of the millennial kingdom is the reality of God's purpose. That's his purpose. He wants to bring us into this millennial kingdom. And the enemy wants to stop that. And I thought it was very strong in 1 Corinthians 10, where Paul, all these examples about the people in Egypt, what they experience in the desert, that has been written for us. That we don't complain like the people, that we don't have lust like them. Because we are at the end of the age. Which verse was that again? In 1 Corinthians 11, can someone read that to us? 1 Corinthians 10, 11. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So at the end of the age, we have to pay attention to that. At the end of the age, the enemy comes very strongly. He brings the last enemy, that is death. The strongest enemy that the devil has is death. That's the last enemy. This death comes from sin, but is something different. That's why we said it's so good that we can overcome this enemy in Christ. Christ as this true sacrifice that cleanses us from sin. Christ our Lord as the reality of the red heifer that ends death. His resurrection life destroys this death. And we saw yesterday in Numbers 19, there is this red heifer, but the chapters before show where death is coming from and how the enemy tries shortly before they're at the border of the good land, how he tries to stop them not to enter into God's purpose, that they don't enter Canaan and bring fruit. And we saw these lusts that they had. I'll summarize it with Proverbs 10, 27. I can't find the verse. The image of the world that we left behind, and suddenly these lusts come back, and you don't feel like reading the word, the food of God. And today we want to continue the chapters before chapter 19. The solution is the red heifer, and the next one is unbelief and complaining and murmuring. We just want to give an overview. It starts in chapter 13, where they're right before the border of Canaan, and he sends the spies to look at the good land. They bring the grape that they and the pomegranates and figs they bring, and the all the people can see the riches. In verse 27, they tell about and they show them the fruit of the land. We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. That was Numbers 13:27. God showed them something and promised them something, and there are fruits. It's so rich. But there are also problems. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell there, and many strong peoples. There's an imbalance. Outwardly, the good land is very good, but there are some problems there. And then the unbelief comes in. The brother Caleb quiets them down and said, the Lord will give it to us. But then the unbelief comes. And they say, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And then the unbelief and lies start coming in about the land. And we talked about this land. The brother in meeting one, he showed there was one good thing about the land and a lot of problems on the other side. If you have a greater than sign, it says the people in the good land are greater than us. Yeah, they have unbelief, and they're full of fear. And this unbelief causes lies to come and spiritual death. You don't see God anymore. You don't count on Him anymore. You forget what He said. You forgot His purpose. They complain and say in the beginning of 14, in verse 2, if we had died in the land of Egypt, and they are afraid for their wives and children, they will become victims. These are natural fears. And then Joshua and Caleb come, and they say, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us. and do not be afraid of the people, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. And all the congregation said, Amen. No, they didn't. And all the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. What kind of reaction is that of spiritual death? If you outwardly see, the enemies are much greater than Israel. But what in comparison is it to God? Yeah, you can compare it to God. And that's a principle. That we don't let the unbelief come into us by looking upon the problems. All of us have problems. And where we think, oh, I can't overcome that. And especially when it's about the purpose of God. For example, when he says, you're supposed to be kings and priests and you shall enter the kingdom. The enemy wants to stop us through unbelief. For everybody, there are some problems that make you afraid in the world, in work, the children, whatever it is. That we don't enter. There are some fortified cities in our life. And we think, oh, I can't enter into the kingdom. For years, I haven't been changing. I have this unsolvable problem. These are giants for us. But we have to say, Lord, I believe you. Help my unbelief. These problems are just for me to get stronger. Bread makes you stronger. The giants are there, that you have bread for your stomach. Without these problems, we wouldn't know how much greater is our God. And that's why to use our faith, to apply our faith. The unbelief brings 40 years delay for God's purpose. They had to wander in the desert, and the unbelief brought death for the whole generation. That shouldn't happen to us. The Lord had to wait for a new generation that can complete his purpose in the good land. And then, next, there is this wonderful chapter 15, and they talk about what will happen in the good land. They will sacrifice, and this chapter in the middle, and there were these horrible stories, and in the middle, these sacrifice, these offerings, and it shows they came out of Egypt. But Egypt was still in their hearts. And it showed this priestly service helps to gain this new humanity of the Lord, to take Egypt out of the hearts. The second big point in the chapters before the red heifer. It's the complaint of Korah. This principle of complaining against God, against the brothers and sisters. And that's how the enemy wants to make the whole church fall. If we have a problem and we don't go with it to the Lord, but go to my brothers. Oh, Thomas, do you see it the same way as me? And it shows that a death is infectious. In chapter 16, how many people did it start with? It was one person that had a problem. In this chapter, it's a leading Levite, and he takes two more leading brothers, Dathan and Abiram. He was the son of Levi, and he took these two, and then there are three. And what did they do? They rose up, and they took 250 leading ones of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They are all infected. That's pretty strong. One has a problem. And most of you know this story. It didn't end up well. It ended in death. The argument, the reason they have, it sounds pretty good. You take too much upon yourself, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? It shows the spiritual death that's in there. And in verse 19, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. If you look at it humanly, there's so many leading ones and the whole church, and then there's two people, Moses and Aaron. If you could look at the democratic reasoning, then who is right? But that's the problem. Who is right? If you're spiritually dead, you think you're right. And you draw everybody upon your side. And you can't see what the Lord is saying, that you're not right. The problem is you die. Spiritually, you are dead. If you don't cleanse yourself spiritually from death, and if you touch this death, you wonder how so many leaders and elders, not Philistines, but it's leaders of God's people, suddenly they're on Korah's side and Dathan and Abiram. And that's this aspect, that this death is infectious and it kills you. And if you don't know how to cleanse yourself, you don't know God's purpose and God's will. You know the story. The Lord swallowed them up. The earth opened up and swallowed them up. And the people again were murmuring. And then another 14,700 experienced death through that. It's interesting. Moses sends Aaron out with the pen, with the censer, and he intercedes for them, and he stood with the incense between the living and the dead. It's very strong how they react. What we shall learn, that we don't defend ourselves, but they intercede for them. It said about Moses, he's the most humble if he's attacked. Often the problem is that we try to defend ourselves. And Moses said, you didn't attack me, but why do you fight against God? And I saw what I want to learn. The things in the church, during at work, I have to correct some things. And in the church, it's also good to clarify misunderstanding. But if there are problems, I should come to the king and should pray for this thing and not start murmuring and start bringing my reasons and tell it to everybody and don't come to God. That's a big problem. What causes spiritual death? It's much better to give it to God. How God said, okay, let's, Moses said, let's God decide. And they took these 12 rods and through the resurrection power, he chose them. He showed them what he's choosing, and this rod of Aaron was sprouting. This dead rod became full of blossoms and fruits. Praise the Lord. It's a strong image for us that we understand how we shall deal with this. Oh Lord, help us to deal with these situations in the right way. Yeah, lead your people. Oh, that you can deal with these situations right away. That life reigns and not death. That we look upon you in faith, not upon the difficulties and draw back. We want to exercise our faith and gain your good land, your kingdom. Lord, teach us to bring everything to you. We don't want to be right. And in the end, there is unbelief. Thank you for your living word that warns us, change us through your speaking, that we have no death or rebellion that we bring into the church. Yeah, help us to come to you and ask you, Lord. Thank you, Father. You are God who responds us to us. Not to murmur, but rather ask you, Lord. That's very strong to see these verses, how these people with Korah and how the spiritual death is extending. The rebellion starts with Korah, with one person, with two, then with 250. And in the end, the whole people of Israel are defiled. We have to be careful because death wants to enter. Death doesn't just suddenly come from one moment to the other, but it's a process. If I depart more and more from the Lord, then I start dying. First, I'm sick, and that's how it is. We heard about what happened for Miriam. She was speaking something and speaking against Moses. She was offended about something that was wrong. And then she talks about something. Once death starts spreading in us, and I see something to correct in the church, and I can't stop, and I can't close my mouth. And I saw something in the church, something has to happen, and I want to share it. And I can't stop myself from talking about it. But this attitude that Moses had, it's important to learn this lesson that Moses did. He came to the Lord and brought it to him. And he goes onto his knees and fell down. That's something when I start talking about it, I notice inside, is the Lord still close to me? If I start departing more and more from the Lord, then I start being dead. The further I go away, the more I depart from this life, and then spiritual death enters. It's so good. Although these chapters in Numbers 12 to 19, there's so many horrible things, how death through different situations starts spreading, be it through murmuring, through rebellion, like with Korah, or through unbelief. I don't want to enter the good land. You can see. In Numbers 15, where they talk about the burnt drink and meal offerings, and in chapter 18, where he says, I give you the priesthood as a gift, and it's such a hint that God gives to us. While all these things are happening, how death is spreading, and so much judgment is happening. He puts these things about the priestly service right in between. And it's important because spiritual death wants to bring us away from the Lord, but the priestly service brings us close to the Lord. This word moves all of us. We all have experienced that. In one way or the other, we have experienced that. I'm so thankful that we can deal with that in us today, to not bring destroy the peace and bring death. I speak from my own experience, because in the end I had to, afterwards I had to repent very much. I want to, but we should learn from our mistakes. Yeah, I'm thankful that the Lord speaks in that way to us, that we can deal with this in our hearts. And I have to say, and there is some fruit coming out of that. Thank you, Father. Amen. have to share one experience about that. When I was in this church before, someone spoke against the priesthood. And when the Lord showed the priesthood to me, I was really on fire for that. And I was full with the Lord. And I experienced the Lord as my life. And I wanted to fight for this matter. And I thought in my heart, I want to persuade everybody who's in the church. And I thought I should go to certain people and persuade them, and then I can persuade everybody. And I thought how I can spread the priesthood, and wanted to fight for that. And my experience was, the more I opened my mouth and tried to persuade people, it got worse and worse. In the end, it wasn't good, and the peace left. And you can see that in the end, Moses never fought for his right or the right of the Lord, or you misunderstood, or talked with the people of Korah, and he never did that. He gave it to the Lord, and you can see how the Lord clarified that the next day. I don't want to touch this holy work that the Lord is doing with my unholy hands. The Lord spoke to me. I can bring these things to the Lord, and the Lord can build this house. Sometimes I feel attacked because of something, but I have to learn to bring it to the Lord. And to say, Lord, it's not my fight. It's the fight of the Lord. He will take care of it. That's such a wonderful attitude that will give life to us. I also had an experience 1.5 weeks ago. Because of different experiences, I didn't have faith. I have no reality in my life, and it was strange. The reason didn't match the sadness that I had. I didn't know what to do. And we went to the prayer with Roland and Claire. And then we talked about it and had some fellowship. And then this verse he shared with me, say thanks for everything. Then he shared about the conference in Neuchâtel, and we had listened to the first message together. But we had some visitors, and he shared, first comes dissatisfaction, then rebellion comes, and in the end there is death. And this dissatisfaction, this word, that really matched my problem. And then we prayed and we went home. And the Lord showed me the reason that dissatisfaction was my condition. And he showed me the medication, which was say thanks. And I started saying thanks for everything the next time. There were 1,000 different things because my daughter was there with her husband, two kids. Whenever anything happened, I said, thank you, Lord, for whatever happened. It was such a wonderful experience. And I experienced the Lord and His love. And the Lord showed me that in the day I said, thanks for the situation. He showed me like, He is the solution. And I said, thanks for our son that I always worry about. And I said, thanks to the Lord for how you lead him. Not what I can do or what I can say. And I said, thank you, Lord, for what you do. Amen. And that was good. I was reminded. Can you say it again? Can we read Ephesians 5, 3 to 4 together? Ephesians 5, 3 to 4. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Ephesians 5, 3 to 4. And verse 5 also. For this you know, that no fornicating, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Verse 6 also, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. One thing that in chapter 13 talks about, the Lord said they should enter the good land. And one thing I saw in this chapter, I saw what effect this unbelief, this disobedience has. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Mm-hmm. Speak to the children of Israel, etc. Send out people to, and he said, I want to give you this land. And we know what happened. The spies went out from every tribe one, They went out to spy out the land and they came back. And in Numbers 13:26, they talk about it. They came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong, the cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." These were the giants. And you see, this land is exactly how the Lord promised. It's not just a land of milk and honey, but we also have to conquer it. There are also giants there. And what did the people say? They started murmuring, and the disbelief started spreading. And they saw more the giants than what the Lord has given. And what you can see in the end, where does this unbelief lead to? It led to a whole generation dying, that the whole generation didn't get what the Lord had prepared for them. And that gave me a new view and showed me a new dimension. How serious disbelief is. We think it's okay if I don't believe, or it's my problem. I just can't believe. But here you can see the disbelief caused a whole generation to die. And 40 years it took to go on with the people. And that really shows us that unbelief brings death. It doesn't just bring death, but it holds up the whole purpose of God. In Hebrews 3, it is spoken about that. Let no one have a evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is coming from an evil heart. Is from especially in verse 1. God spoke something in Numbers. He said, "Conquer this land," but they didn't believe. They didn't take hold of it. When we see if God speaks something, we have to obey. If the Lord speaks about the worship, then it's not just an option. There is no reasons you can give not to do it, but we should take it in faith. If the Lord wants to go on with the church, and he says, "You shall spy out this land because I want to give it to you," and the people withdraw because of unbelief, and then the Lord can go on with this people. He has to bring a new generation up that he can go on with. That showed me how serious unbelief is, how important it is that we listen to the Lord and that we obey the Lord, and that the word that he speaks to us, we take in faith. There's always something to conquer. But like Caleb, this what he has to conquer is like, these giants are like bread in my stomach. No one said it's easy. But the Lord will give us the victory. and it will strengthen us in the experience with the Lord. That's why we cannot have an evil heart of unbelief. We should believe. In Hebrews 10, we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe and save the soul. That's life. Either we draw back because of unbelief, that's perdition, or we believe and gain a soul. That's why it's not a little thing. If the Lord speaks something to us, we should take hold of it in faith. Another thing that was important for me and that we heard about, it's in chapter 16 at the rebellion of Korah. Korah rebelled against Moses, and later you can see the rebellion wasn't against Moses, but it was against God. In the beginning, it was just one person, and then it's 2, 4, and 250. And then in chapter 17, it's 14,700 people. That's a real increase. That's an exponential increase. And that shows rebellion is not a small thing. It's very infectious. It will not stay with one person and then it will double. And it continues. And what was the reason? He wasn't satisfied. He was jealous of Moses. God put Moses in this position. And Moses said in chapter 14, 28, he didn't, in 28, he didn't do it out of his own heart. Number 16, 28. And Moses said, "By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will." Moses didn't put himself in that position. He didn't do it out of his own will. But how Rainer mentioned, Moses didn't start fighting for himself. He didn't give reasons. "Don't you know that God made me lead the people to..." He didn't do that. And he said, "Let's meet before the Lord. Let us all go to the Lord. And the Lord should decide. The Lord should decide who's holy." And in the end, the life decided. The Lord judged through life and death. And then at the rod of Aaron, it also was shown. The difference was one had life and the other was dead. But let the Lord decide and judge. We don't have to be zealous in the church. We are not zealous for anyone, for ourselves, for our own right, for the Lord. But we let the Lord be zealous for himself and for those he called. That's a important lesson that we have to take with us. Moses didn't fight for himself, and he leaves it to the Lord. And that's why it's good for us to see, to not be a reason for bitterness. In Hebrews 12, Paul says, yeah, to pay attention that no one lets go of the grace, and a bitter root grows up, and many will be defiled. That's what happened with Korah. There was a bitter root, and many were defiled, and then death came. And that's why Paul says we should look carefully. Let it be a warning for us. Amen. It's very significant that this whole story with death that didn't happen from Egypt to the Mount Sinai. It happened from the Mount Sinai to the good land. The closer they got to the goal, the more the enemy started fighting with this weapon. We are shortly before the end. The enemy doesn't sleep either. Everything we hear, we hear strategies of the enemy that God exposes, that we can see them and realize it when they come into our life. It's very tragical when you are shortly before the goal, if you fall right at the beginning. But you didn't lose much time. But you fall at the end, right before the goal. What a waste. Your time is gone and you didn't reach the goal. And the Lord is coming quickly. And the signs of the times increase. That's why the battle is increasing. And the enemy fights with death, rebellion, unbelief. If you don't like something, and then the second thing you don't like, and then you don't like four things, and then half of everything you don't like. And before you can even realize, you have so many things to say, and then death start spreading, and then I fall and others fall. And what is the result of death? You can't enter the good land. Yeah, if you're buried on the way, you will not enter the good land. We read this short time ago at the end of Numbers. He counts the people, and there's more than 600,000. It's a very long chapter, and at the end, and it said, not one of the people who came out of Egypt was among them, except Joshua and Caleb. Such a number. Not one of those were counted that went out of Egypt was still among them. We are few, but we shouldn't even decrease. We should look carefully and bring this warning before the Lord and search our heart before the Lord and say, Lord, we want to enter the good land. We want to not die like everybody else. And many die. It's important that the Lord has a remnant that he can reach his goal with. And I appreciate this word to bring the spiritual death before the Lord and say, Lord, where I don't I believe you, where is unbelief in my life, where is something between you and me that has to be overcome. And I don't look upon the Lord, but I look upon this thing or different things. And then to deal with it, to deal with it right away, that it doesn't grow and can be put away and we can get to the goal. If we don't deal with it right away, death starts spreading. It's very dangerous. Even if I just hear something about against someone, how can I deal with it? I can start praying right away and take the censer and intercede and stop death right away. If I start thinking about it and then it continues, that's dangerous. And the Lord warns us, and he wants us to reach the goal. We're shortly before the end, and we have to hold on to our crown. Jesus says, be awake and do not be tempted. I had the impression in Mark 13, 33 onward. Mark 13, 33. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And that I say to you, I say to all, watch. Mm-hmm. Amen. Dear Lord, we don't to get into spiritual death. We want to be watchful in you. Yeah, watch and pray. Yeah, we want to pay attention that no bitter root comes up, not in myself and not in someone else. We want to bless rather. A short experience about that. I noticed something that I didn't have before. It's a sign that we're going toward the end. I start having weird thoughts about the saints. I didn't have that before, and I never had that. And it came suddenly, and I saw this is from the enemy. There's no reason, but there's a weird feeling in me. In my work, I don't have that. I have no problem with them. And with the saints, something comes in. And if I deal with it right away and start blessing and don't give room for it, and then it starts fading away right away. And then I can stand toward each other freely and with joy. Oh Lord, save us. I was astonished yesterday. We heard the people of Israel forget that where they were in slavery and they had to work hard. They were remembering the meat, the fish, the garlic, and one aspect that I this was this generation that saw all these wonders. The enemy distracts us and leads our eyes to the wrong things. We don't have to just forget what is behind. And the Lord says, my testimonies are true. We all have experienced the working of the Lord, each of us. And it's that we don't forget these things, that we remember what the Lord has done in our life, because that will save us from putting our eyes on the wrong things, and that he gives us these different things. That's something, a point that became important for me, to not forget what the Lord has done, great things in us, and we can tell each other about it. That's good to encourage one another with it and say, Johannes, the Lord has done this and that for me. Let us do this. Amen. Thank you for everything you've done in us already. You have freed us from Egypt. We don't want to go back. We want to enter the good land. We look forward upon the goal. The spiritual death is very infectious. In Numbers 13, we saw about the 12 spies. They came back, and the 10 spies, they talk badly about the land, and with what they told the people, the problem was not a sin, like a lie or something. They kind of said the truth. The land is good, but we have seen the giants. That's not wrong. There were giants. The sons of Enoch, the Nephilim, were there. But it's a land that eats his inhabitants. Maybe they exaggerated. They were persuaded. They really thought it was a problem for them. And maybe they thought, they didn't think, oh, they won't eat us up. But they thought they were right. Yeah, they thought when we enter this, we will be food for them. It's not a lie. And it was not that they tried to sin and tried to tempt the people. The problem was not that they told a lie. The problem was that they had no faith. The problem is not something evil, oh, you lied. Then everybody would have known, oh, you are incorrect, go away. The problem was not their narrative, but they spread their unbelief. they spread a thought that God is smaller than these giants. And they thought the giants are bigger than God. Their trust in the living God, they left it and they started spreading unbelief. And unbelief is nothing worse. It's not worse than disobedience. And it's a nicer word for rebellion. And it has to show us that there is a difference between a sin, a lie. You can quickly see through that. But the other thing is, if there's unbelief, that is death. And this death is much more infectious than a sin. And when I enter here and I'm drunk, that will not infect you. You will not go home and start drinking too. You will throw me out and say, repent. Won't you do that? But when I talk badly about the good land, or I speak about someone and let out my frustration, and I have a good reason and explain it well, then it's different. And suddenly our ears get very big and we pay attention and we take something in. And that is infectious. That's much more infectious as a sin. And in Numbers 13, we can see they talk badly about the land. And the whole church lifted up their voices. And the people cried. And in verse 2, it says, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. First it was 10 spies. Only then it says all the people. And you have to see, death is very infectious and it will really lead to death. And it's a very bad result. And then, next chapter, it's chapter 15, where Johannes mentioned, it speaks about the ordinances, about the sacrifices, about the offerings in the land of Canaan. Suddenly, it's about the offerings. And suddenly, it's finished. Then Korah comes. And he starts rebelling against God. Maybe he didn't like the offerings. And in the next chapter it says, now Korah, it's like a continuation of the previous chapter. And he started having something against God and his purpose. It's not a rebellion against Moses, but later it says it was a rebellion against God. You can't rebel against a man. In the Bible, rebellion is against God. It's against the truth, against what God wants. If God reveals his will and I do something against it or I speak against it. In the beginning, Korah was on his own. And suddenly he has three friends around him. Dathan, Abiram, and On. three friends, and they rose up before Moses and with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Wow. That's where the rebellion started. It didn't start with the little people, but it started with men of renown, leaders of the congregation. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them." Doesn't that sound good? The Lord was among them. The tabernacle was among them. It's not an obvious lie where everybody could say, "Oh, what you say is sinful." But they spread death, their rebellion against God, and brought death, not just to themselves, but how it was said, it caused 14,700 to die of the people. Death is really infectious. In Montmirail, we said, it would be nice if that would be like the same with the gospel. If you speak about the truth of the priesthood, you're alone, and suddenly next day you're four, and 2 days later you're 250, and at the end everybody joins. That's not our experience, unfortunately. That the life and the holiness is not as infectious, but death is infectious. It will eat. It will infect everything. It's important that as a priesthood we become sensitive for death. Once it comes in, it's not just that one or two die, but there will be many dead ones. Not physically dead, but spiritually dead. And we saw that in many different experiences. How many fell for this rebellion? That's why it's important that these thoughts and this rebellion against the word and bad thoughts about the saints, that we purge them out and are cleansed with the ashes of the red heifer. That's why these chapters before chapter 19 are very important. So they show us where is the problem and what happens if we don't deal with it. The Lord reminded me today of a verse that death shouldn't come in. We should not quench the Holy Spirit. That's in Ephesians 4:30. "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." And 1 Thessalonians 5:19. "Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." Mm-hmm. Abstain from every form of evil. I also want to add something to that. Last Sunday, when I listen to the word of all three meetings, I was stuck with the murmuring. And God brought me to 1 Thessalonians 5. Pray without ceasing. And yeah, and then it's give thanks. And then do not quench the spirit. And I was encouraged to share this. And I really exercised to pray without ceasing and to speak about everything with the Lord. Didn't work out every time. And I noticed how often I'm murmuring. I realized, who am I? And I found this key, pray continuously. Yeah, that really is a solution for complaining, murmuring. Thank the Lord. Lord, we praise you. We pray that the word we heard can be our reality, that we can be saved from murmuring and from the lust of the flesh and from rebellion and unbelief. Lord, we pray that none of these things stay in us and spread in us. Lord, we repent from all spreading death. Stop it now, Lord, in us and among us. We want to obey you in all things. Lord, we pray, make your people obedient to you. Moses told the people in Numbers 26, do not touch what they have because of all their sins. That's the we abstain from these things. The things that are under the judgment, yeah, go away from these rebellion and death. We have to go away from it. The own way is to go far from it. That's Numbers 16:26. Lord, we want to abstain from every form of evil. We don't want to be infected from rebellion and death. We want to learn our lessons now. We don't want to be those who spread unbelief and death. We want to spread your life, Lord. Amen. We want to enter the good land in faith. Thank you, you overcame all giants. We pray that we are those like Caleb and Joshua. They have an overcoming spirit, a spirit of faith. We pray that you can go on with us, Lord, that we can enter the good land, that we want to conquer this next age. We believe you. You spoke to us, and you will do it with us. Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. The serpent uses the same words but twists them. In Numbers 16, I noticed 12 onward, and Moses sent to call Datan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, "We will not come up." And what they say now, I think it's horrible. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, that you should keep acting like a prince over us? What a twisting. He wanted to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. He freed them from the slavery. And we should not forget. We should not forget that Satan is so cunning. He uses the same words and twists them. He is the father of lies. And he came to destroy and to kill. We have to see through this. Amen. I also liked a Psalm 101, where God is looking for the faithful ones, and the faithful ones will be raptured. In verse 3, verse 2, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. We should have a perfect heart and not have evil things before our eyes or hate the work of those who fall away and really depart from these things in the heart. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. If you don't think badly about someone. Father, thank you for these words from this psalm. Thank you for your son that lives in us and helps us that we can deal with that. That was Ephesians 4:30 and 1 Thessalonians 5:19 was read before. This word here from Moses, it talks about us. I think that really has to do with our history. It's so living. If it doesn't speak to us, then we have potatoes on our ears. It's so practical for us. I'm very thankful. And it's good to go more into this and to work with that. And there's a paper. There's a few papers. It's a basis for this word where you have an overview, and it's good to use this. Probably an outline. We are tired of walking through the desert. They are like bread in our stomach. Song 252.
Let's sing in faith. We don't see anything anymore, not the giants. The giants must step aside. Generation that fulfills your plan and brings you back. We are so strong for your word that dwells in us. And through this word we overcome the enemy all the time. Praise the Lord for this faith. For the faith of Caleb. For the excelling spirit of Caleb. mountain. We conquer the good land. Now is the time. We don't want to wander in the desert anymore. Actually, not only death spreads very quickly, but also faith can spread quickly. If in the meeting we are so burning and go home, we can overcome many things. But if in the meeting we only have unbelief, or we just sing without the Spirit, when we go home, we won't be happy. We won't have such a success. That's why every time I'm glad the brothers are burning when they come to the meeting. Alone, we won't be able to burn, but when we are all together, the coal will burn in a different way. So I look around who is here or who isn't here, but tonight we want to be burning together. This will really influence our daily life to overcome. Praise the Lord. Tomorrow we will continue at 4 p.m. the next meeting. 4 p.m. and then dinner together, and then at 7:30 p.m. the evening meeting. Praise the Lord. And on Sunday the feast together here. For the children, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. tomorrow, the children will go to the playground across the street. If someone wants to be here, the parents, the children can come to the soccer ground. There will be some serving ones who will supervise the children, so the parents can all attend the meeting. Maybe 5 minutes before 4 p.m. you should bring the children. And there are several serving ones over there. There's a book table in the back. It's for you to richly take away books, booklets, tracts, everything for free. Please take literature richly. Everyone take something, please. You can read it at home and then pass on to someone to read. And tomorrow you can get something again. Briefly, an announcement. We don't have much space here. There will be more tomorrow or on Sunday, probably. Let's all help to keep the place tidy here. So not having stuff lie around or in the toilets, let's keep the place tidy. Also, the kitchen is needed for the translation. So after meal, we should clean it up for the translation. Praise the Lord.